Good morning, Gloucester. We're testing out a new mic today.
It's a handsome mic.
Very nice. Great.
I'm very envious.
Yes. You got a big mic, Joey. Standing up straight and tall here.
This is the
go big or stay home.
This is the yellow Corvette or yellow Porsche of microphones.
Ooh.
Is as you know, for the men overcompensating for lack of certain things, shall we say?
It's not a Mini Cooper, folks. I can tell
this
you.
This is not.
It's not a
this
Mini
is
Cooper.
Not a Mazda Miata.
Yes.
This is not a VW Bug.
No, it's not.
This is a yellow Corvette.
Yes.
A yellow Porsche microphone. And we're gonna. Hopefully, the audio quality is.
Hopefully, it measures up to what.
That is always a problem, isn't it? Yeah.
There's always hope.
Call in and tell us.
It's Gloucester Cast 301.
301.
Wow. Amazing.
Which I just got done editing 300.
300.
But I really, I'm having a. I'll go around and introduce everybody after this one sentence. I'm having a little bit of a. I haven't figured it out yet, but KPN TV was really generous and nice to come down and record our really super fun podcast, the video style, at the Crow's Nest, but they're not going to be back to work till Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So
I don't know that they're going to get to edit it
for a few days. Anyway.
So I taped it as well on my iPad, so I think we're gonna release the audio.
The audio, yeah.
But I think that it is gonna be absolutely worth the visual, the fun that we have.
I think you're right.
The shenanigans.
Yes, the shenanigans.
It needs to be seen.
I think
the visual
that
effects were a big piece of yesterday's.
Yeah, I think so too. So we're gonna release it.
Full advantage of the visual effects because we're silent. We're not visual at all here, so especially your friend Chris.
Yeah.
And Lammy Pie, who made the first
special guest star.
Yes. So we have Paul O'Brien O'Brien, which I always love when you come in because we don't get to see you enough.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really enjoy being here.
Thank you so much for bringing the speedy sauce today.
Oh,
here
he goes.
That's
here
a joke.
I said,
I know that's a joke.
Right out of the gate.
She's been
True.
Fresh this morning.
She's been fresh.
We're doing a podcast. I'm gonna get that way.
Fresh. Heidi Dallin is with us.
Hello.
And Heidi is not. We won't be having any. There's no cast of.
She's just here as Heidi Dallin today, which I'm excited about.
I like that.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm very happy to be here.
Because Heidi's very knowledgeable about Gloucester stuff.
Yes, she
She's a Gloucester girl, for sure.
Very sweet. I love Gloucester.
Of course. Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz are with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jimmy drove yesterday to make it for the 300th.
He did.
Left at 3 a.m.
Oh, that's
from
such a long drive.
Upstate New York to get here. It means a lot. And we finished the day, me and him, being tortured by the Red Sox and David Price.
The umpire.
The umpire.
Oh, yeah, it was the umpire.
Kim.
Good morning, Gloucester.
She's a fucking Yankees fan. She's been teasing me the whole time. Paul O'Brien, O'Brien.
I'm allowed to be a Yankee fan. I grew up there. I grew up in New York. Not New York City, but New York State. Just like you did. How did you become a Boston fan?
It's a natural.
Because they're the best.
Oh!
Good job.
Okay, all right.
Long, awkward silence.
I'm getting the honeycomb stare, by the way.
I didn't invite her, Joey. She just showed up.
You're dead to me look.
Yeah.
She's not dead to me. She could never be dead to me. You got to hand it to, you got to tip your cap to the umpire that gave the Yankees game yesterday. You gotta tip the cap.
He definitely. I think he listened to the interviews when the TV guys interview the managers live in between. I think he walks over and he hears, and he says, "Okay, I'll give you a break."
Yeah, that's what they do. I'm sure that's what they do.
It was piss poor. Did you watch the game?
I did.
Okay, objectively, Were you fucking watching the same game that we watched? Was the umpiring a little fucking wacky?
I'll admit that. It was. I thought it was a little wacky on both sides, but it was wacky. And I said to Jim, it's unfortunate that an umpire could affect a game of this level. It's wrong.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, you just redeemed yourself.
Thank you.
And I also need to thank you because you saved us as Kim failed to take any group photos yesterday. Because you saw her taking photos.
I saw her taking pictures.
But she bailed us out, though. Right.
I didn't want to mess up the way they'd set us all up at K-Band TV and then jump over and take a picture. And I saw Paula taking pictures, so...
Yes.
It did take her a little while to get us set up down there yesterday.
I thought the lady and Jim were going to come to blows in the beginning. When you tried to explain that you were going to do the flugelhorn, and she says, I'm in charge.
All I did was, the whole crowd was there, and I wanted to tell them, hey, you're going to hear a horn playing, and I want to get the cheer. So I wanted everyone on the same page. I thought it'd be great. And she walked up and just tapped me. Actually, she moved my shoulders quickly and just said, you can't go yet. I am not ready. And I said, everyone knows you're in charge. I'll wait. But she was. She was
she
really setting up.
Needed
she knew
be.
Her stuff. And
she
I
was
just,
a pro. Jan,
I did a great job.
Jan something Levitz. Jennifer Lee Levitz.
Jennifer Lee Levitz, yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I know Jen. Yeah,
she was great. Okay. I mean, she knew her stuff, but she thought I was moving
she
in on...
She was scolding you.
Yeah, he got scolded.
She put you across her knee and spanked you.
I thought it was interesting, though, because at the end she said to me, I had so much fun. She goes, but I don't think I could do this. You know, be on a podcast.
Oh, really? And,
yeah. She totally enjoyed filming it, but she thought it was so interesting, the interaction.
How many people have we heard say that? They come right in here and they fall right into the conversation.
What's interesting to me? Yeah. There were a lot of people that came there to listen. Because I could tell they kind of set up around us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was.
But I didn't know who they were, and I wish they would have introduced themselves. We had a great crowd, though.
We did have a great crowd.
And it was fun when the Yankees fans came in. And we gave the Yankees suck chant.
Now, hang on. Yeah. They walked in, and they announced they were from New York, and you naturally
and
assumed
it was automatic
that they were Yankee fans.
And I found out later they were Met fans.
They are not
they
Yankee
walked right
fans.
Up to me and said that, but... It's okay.
We had a lot of fun with them.
They
stayed the whole time, so they were having fun too.
They were really were. The
yeah,
they were
on the way
out. They
were
laughing.
They were laughing.
So Marianne Shafford, we want to put this out to you. You're much like Heidi.
Yeah.
She's in the Heidi class. You're invited to any podcast because she was a pro.
She did a great job. She was natural.
She knew when to talk, when to shut up. And she had great anecdotal stories, very interesting. She was a great guest.
I was very impressed. She just did a beautiful job yesterday representing the Crow's Nest and just being part of the podcast.
It was fantastic.
I agree. You know, I gotta add one thing here. I did not realize she was with the Crow's Nest at first until you introduced her to all of us. Pat and I looked at her. She looked at us. And we went, this is the lady. We were at the mile marker one day just having a drink. And a bunch of teachers came in. It was the end of the school year. And they were having their celebration over at the mile marker.
Mm-hmm.
We could tell they were teachers all coming in. They had little gifts and everything. We walked over and bought every single one of them a drink of champagne. So we bought champagne.
They said it was a retirement party, and it was Marianne.
Right. And we said as teachers,
oh, wow.
And
isn't that
it was
cool?
Her.
Why did you bring that up during the podcast?
He probably
it took
here.
Them a minute
oh, you didn't
to make
realize
sure.
it till afterwards.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I realized it in the beginning, and we talked about it, but there was such a list, and it was going there. So we're sitting here now, and I did see her at the end again. We talked a little bit about it again, but we bought everyone, and it was her. So I just said, is this a small world?
You know what was great about the taping? We had the topics, the show notes that we put together literally in 20 minutes before the thing, but. When I hit the last topic in my show notes, it was 59 minutes.
Yeah, excellent timing.
And if you have you done things? Well, you've done things at Cape Ann TV, I'm sure.
Yeah, I used to host a show. Yeah.
They like to package things in half hour or 1 hour increments because they have time slots.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, we put this with a bow tie on for them to fill some air for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm really happy that worked out really well. We didn't have to fill. We didn't have to chop. They could put that into the machine, put title and credits on there, and let it rip.
It was perfect.
It was really fun.
Yeah, you did. I want to say you did an amazing job managing everybody coming and going, all the things that were going on all around.
You know, at this point, with 300, Gloucester cast, and I don't know if we got 30 homie casts or whatever. At this point, it's all kind of just
second nature.
Yeah. It's almost like when you. Things are react. You don't think about your emotions. Mm-hmm. Everything just is.
It's like the Olympics when the athletes make it look simple.
Yeah.
You make
something.
It look simple.
Oh, you're an Olympic podcaster.
I'm trying to think of muscle memory.
Oh, yes.
This is mind muscle memory at this point, right?
But yesterday was unusual in that it was at the Crow's Nest. So there were a lot more distractions.
I was worried about the audio. I was very worried about the audio because my mic is not like a professional mic. I listened to it. Towards the end, we all were getting really rambunctious, shall we say. And it gets a little muddled in the last 15 minutes. But the first 45 minutes... You can hear everybody's what everybody's saying,
good.
And you can pick up on the energy.
Wouldn't want anybody miss out on any of that fun.
Yeah. so, starting, I think it was either the yesterday morning or the night before, and I think a lot of people are having this. Facebook Messenger is just blistering people with some type of virus going through
around.
A Facebook Messenger.
Yes.
And they all start out with the same kind of, line. So you can tell that it's kind of a canned virus thing going around.
Yeah.
But Jim mentioned this, and I think this is a good idea to tell people how to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you open up your Facebook Messenger, for people that use Facebook or Facebook Messenger, instead of quickly tapping on each of those messages, because that'll open it up in your program, long press on those individual messages that you identify as spam, it'll open up a dialog box that says delete. One of the options is delete. You press delete, and then it's going to say delete conversation. You hit delete conversation. That'll rid it, and you won't have opened up something
excellent.
That could potentially install a virus on your
I appreciate
on your phone.
That because last night I was looking online to find out how to get rid of them without opening
them.
So
the whole key, Joey, that you're saying basically
long
is
press.
Long press
until you get the dialogue box.
Long press what? What do you long
the
press?
Individual,
the actual message
the
on
message
Messenger.
That's the viral message.
Okay, just hold your... You mean like hold your mouse down.
Press it like you mean it. No, your finger.
We're talking about a mobile screen.
A touch screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't even open them on your computer.
Yeah.
Do you not access Facebook through your phone?
Not Facebook Messenger.
Oh, you know.
No, I just look at Messenger on my computer.
Yeah.
So there may be I'm not positive about this.
There's a button.
But there's maybe a little dot to the right of each message.
Okay. Well,
you hit that.
You can delete it that way.
Actually, it marks it as red, and then it'll. You're all done with it.
Okay. I'll look.
Bottom line, don't open it.
I think almost everybody opened at least one or two, but after a while, you need to not.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Don't do that. I'm almost 51 now. My birthday's at the end of a couple of weeks. Jesus, it's coming up quickly. But not to bring up my birthday, but to bring up, I had my physical last year and was supposed to schedule my colonoscopy, and I haven't scheduled it yet. So I just want to put a mention out there because Paula said, and I know this is true because I hear it enough, colon cancer is one of the, if you detect it early, is one of the most preventable cancers.
That's right.
Out of all of them.
Yep.
So I'm going to make a point to schedule my colonoscopy.
And if you don't have it, when you're 80, and then after 80, you don't have to have one.
There you go.
Because it's so slow growing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
so, but you have to catch it.
They say that the They give you some kind of liquid that's going to clean you out.
The actual procedure isn't bad, but the prep part is nightmarish.
Like the day before, I heard.
Yeah.
So you really have to
give yourself a couple
days.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Not like my vasectomy. My vasectomy. I went in 2 hours after my vasectomy. We were having lunch at the Halbert Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like
And you would
that.
Think that yeah. that. I mean, taking some scissors to your nuts, you think that you're going to have a little bit more, you know.
Yeah. Also, I would just, they told me, afterwards you can't drive, you can't do anything, you know, go home and sleep.
You have to be close to home because...
Well, I've had tons of energy afterwards.
I haven't had that issue.
Well,
I think it depends. I haven't had one, but I think it depends on how you react
to
the
anesthesia.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because sometimes they use that Michael Jackson, the
propofol.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really
so. So, and if you depends on how you react to that.
Want me to tell you something funny? When I broke my elbow and dislocated it, I was in the emergency room, and the doctor goes, "He goes, now we're going to give you some propofol. You know, the stuff that that Michael Jackson died from."
That's how he described it to you?
My husband was like, "Why are you telling him that?"
Yeah. That's hysterical.
Yeah, don't need to know that, right?
Right, I don't need to know that.
Yeah.
I knew it after the fact that they gave me propofol, but whatever.
Yeah.
It worked.
Well, I got a feeling like I was on all kinds. That guy, Michael Jackson, was probably, you know, obviously addicted to a bunch of stuff. And
well,
he had that doctor was just a guy that was a paid,
a yes man, a lackey. So
yeah, just give
him
a paid supplier.
You're not being injected with propofol like every night, like Michael Jackson.
Right.
Michael
Jackson.
Right. Yeah,
asleep.
Yeah.
So
they wouldn't have. They wouldn't be having it.
Right.
And giving it to him.
He was so good looking. Michael Jackson was so good looking when he was younger. I was just thinking about that the other day. And then
he was cute.
He was really cute. Yeah. And then surgery after surgery after surgery. Yeah.
I have to say another thing. Melanoma is a cancer
preventable.
That can be
cured.
If you get body checks and you get your body checks. And I just went for my check this week.
Do you go to Northeast Dermatology?
No, I go to Mass General
okay.
Pigment and Lesion Clinic because I had melanoma when I was 15.
You know what I can't stand about that? And I'm not to dissuade anybody. Everybody needs to get checked. What bothers me about the whole skin cancer thing?
Right.
Like if you have to have a mole removed, like you go into your regular doctor, he says, "I think you should have this looked at." So you're scheduled to go and have it looked at. So then you go in, they get a copay for the you already had it looked at, but your physician looked at, so you paid that thing. You go to the skin guy, they look at you, they say, we're gonna get we're gonna biopsy this or whatever, or they look at it and say, "All right, we're gonna have to have you come back in a couple weeks." So you go in for the procedure.
Right.
They do the procedure. They take off the mole or whatever happens to be. And then they want you to come back to take out the stitches. And then they want you to come back to check you out again.
So
it's like it's not really five. It ends up being like four visits.
Right.
And like you have to go. You have to take care of it. But it's just irritating to me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you shouldn't go, but it's irritating.
But it all depends though on what kind of you know, the last one I had removed, I did not have to go back, and it wasn't the procedure he used. I didn't have stitches, and you can't even see my scar. And then the one before that, because I usually end up having to have something, she looked at me and said, "I can biopsy this, or I can just take it out. What do you want to do?"
You're like, take that shit out.
And my regular doctor, who's been my doctor since I was 15, had heart surgery, and he wasn't, so she was filling in for him, and I said, "What would Dr. Sober do? Do whatever he would do." So, and then, so I didn't have another appointment, so it really...
So did they just take it out?
Yeah,
is
she just...
Dr. Sober would have done?
Yeah, she just took it out. Yeah, Dr. Sober, as they say, he's the best relationship I've had with a man in my entire life.
One of those long-lasting
ones. He's the most dependable, the most. He's amazing. And
his bedside service was up to par.
Yeah. Listen, when I had my thyroid surgery, you know, it had nothing to do with him. I was nervous because everything happened really fast. You know, I was going to go into Mass General and within 3 weeks. And he called me, talked to me on the phone for, 40 minutes.
Wow.
And we talked about everything, including, people he had known that had gone to this doctor and where my mother should stay because she couldn't go, what hotel would be good and this. I mean,
really,
just doctors that...
The ones that really want to help people.
Do they even exist anymore?
The ones
right.
That really
you know?
I think there's good doctors.
Yeah, I do too.
He's been amazing. So I say to him, I'm like, you're the best, longest relationship I've had with a man in my life.
Well, and I think because we hear negative about so many things that when something good happens, it's good to note it.
Yeah, he's great. He hooked me up with a great eye doctor. I was having eye doctor problems. His eye doctor.
I tell you who I could recommend for a dentist is Dr. Leif Backlund.
Yes, you
and
love
his
him,
team.
Don't you?
I love those people. They are next level, and they're so kind and so sweet and so patient and so accommodating. And they have all brand new, the latest equipment. And they have music piped through the place. They have toys for the children. Parting gifts for the children. My children say.
When's our next appointment?
My children say, when can we go back? I mean, it is that kind of a situation. So shout out to Harbor Cove Dental. Can we talk, Jimmy, about the debacle that was and how disappointing last night's Red Sox game was? It was only one game. Why do I feel so defeated right now after only two games? They split the homestand against the Yankees. Why do I feel so horrible about that loss?
Because
the Red Sox
giant
bullpen
the mighty giant Red Sox that can hit the ball and go everywhere just were totally thrown
off.
And I don't know if I could safely say it was Yankee pitching that threw them off. Sometimes you got that really good pitcher that you got to just tip your hat saying, wow, you make money.
Like Sale in the beginning of the season.
And it certainly wasn't the crowd. They were up. I mean, the crowd was right in it. It just when your strike zone is kind of all over, it made them think at the plate, and they took care of it. I mean, they had a swing at some things that they normally would have not swung at. Even the announcers alluded to that once in a while.
Mm. It was depressing. The Red Sox seemed flat.
And let's face it, Dave Price. He gave up that big hit, and that kind of pushed
Judge,
his head in a different...
Judge seems like the breakout star that they've been saying that he's going to be.
Right. That one, I thought, hit the train, if not the highway. I thought it was going right at the stadium.
I've never seen a baseball player with that type of physique.
Well, that's what I said. I don't know how they ever walk him. He's huge.
How they don't walk him, you mean?
No, because his strike zone is so, right. His strike zone is so big. I don't know how
we talked about that last night. I would have walked him.
His waist is, still thin there, but his shoulders and his legs are like tree trunks. He's a fucking specimen.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I don't know. I'm not looking forward to facing that guy for the rest. He scares. I don't know. Whatever. I just hope that they can make it respectable because I'll be really depressed if they lose the next two at Yankee Stadium.
They're a good team, and it's going to be a whole new day. And even though, if now they go to Yankee Stadium, and that's a whole new crowd. But they're used to that because that's where they finished up the series. So it's not like we're going uncharted. It's they'll go for it.
Yeah.
Listen, maybe they needed a kick in the pants to get them. They've been doing well all year. I went to a Sox game. Like, I never leave before the game's over because you always think they're going to lose. Like, they were winning. I left, a little bit. I left before the last at-bat. And I was ready to hear, they lost or something. And they won. So maybe they needed a kick in the pants.
You shouldn't need a kick in the pants. They're facing the fucking Yankees in the playoffs. But, I mean, that's like, they shouldn't, you don't need to have a kick in the pants at that. But you got to be jacked up right
there. Well, two teams that traded and paid people to be there for this moment.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why everyone's looking at it. Everyone. I'm sure there's GMs and other squads looking at it saying, we got to do this. You know, so if it works or doesn't work, they're going to look at it. So that's why this game is really under the microscope.
Well, and historically, the Yankees have been better with the pocketbook than the Red Sox have, I think.
Yeah.
The energy in the stadium was amazing. My son was at the first game, and he said it is unbelievable to be at one of those games.
We'll see what happens.
Well, Fenway Park, be at Fenway Park, and that's, there's so
yeah,
much.
That's
it's
what
not
I mean.
Like one of those brand new ballparks, which are awesome. But you're there. It's history when you think about who else has played there. The Harvard-Yale game is going to be at Fenway Park this year.
Really?
Yes, I know you're super excited about that. I have no idea why I will be going.
We could have gone to, but we chose not to. We could have gone down. Would you turn down? I turned down the yellow one, so you say what you did.
So I know Thanksgiving's a little bit of a ways away.
Yeah.
But you already got the news that your daughter is bailing out on you.
I got the news. Yeah, she was like, Mom, I have to tell you something.
She was sitting on that. She came home this weekend. She
tell you face to face.
Face to face, yes, really.
She's going to Paris, though.
Not face to face, driving in the car.
Right.
So what alternative do
I have? You couldn't leave the room
into a tree.
Yeah. That was very wise of her.
You couldn't pretend you didn't hear her and leave the room. You couldn't
stammer off.
Yeah.
Long, awkward silence on the whole ride home.
In the same sentence, she told me she was going to Paris, so I had to pretend that I was happy.
It's not too early to start thinking about Thanksgiving.
I'm so happy for you, honey. That's so wonderful. We're going to miss you.
Will this be the first Thanksgiving you spend away from him?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. That's tough.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually surprised. She's not a spring chicken anymore.
No, but she Thanksgiving is my family's favorite holiday, really.
Oh, there you go.
So everybody loves to come over Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I love Thanksgiving as well. Because Thanksgiving is all about football.
And this year, the Tiger Woods big thing.
What's the big thing with Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods challenged, who's the other golfer? My son's going to kill me. It's $1 million challenge that they're going to play, and winner takes all.
I don't care.
Thanksgiving game.
I don't care.
Okay.
No, I'm going to say this. I don't personally care, but I recognize that there are, and it boggles my mind, but there are a ton of people that absolutely will be glued to that, like a phenomenal number. That event, there's going to be two guys, from what you're saying, and it is going to, for that network, it's going to do outrageous numbers because Tiger Woods is carrying the entire PGA, even though he hasn't won a major in some ridiculous amount of years.
Yeah,
he still has cachet. Mm-hmm. That
people love him.
They love to watch and root for him, even though he hasn't won a major in forever. And when he is in a tournament, the ratings and the amount of people that go there, it's what one individual person, dollar wise, brings to an individual sport. He has more impact on the game than I think any other professional athlete anywhere.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because they want him to win, or do you think they want to see him fail?
I think they want to see him win.
Young kids still idolize him.
And it's amazing to me after what he went through.
And it's a classic, comebacks, American comeback story.
Yeah.
Well, that,
so,
yeah, that alone would,
that
yeah.
Well, he's had a few passes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me. Like, I see, that's what is to me. I wish someone that was like a real true golfer could explain to me why that guy means so much to the sport when he hasn't won for that long. And there's all these young, kind of hip guys, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, there's a ton of like these young dynamic golfers that get no attention, and they've been performing and winning majors compared to him. Mm-hmm. So that's what's just interesting to me.
It is.
I will not watch that
because Thanksgiving is football.
Because Thanksgiving is football, I'm happy for other people that I know it will mean a lot to them that they will be glued to it. But for me, I don't give two shits about it. But it's fair. I'm glad you even brought it up. It's interesting to me that someone can explain to me. Chris, if Chris McCarthy was here, okay, Jimmy, here's your assignment. Next time we have Chris on the podcast, he's all about golf. He was the captain of our golf team in high school, got recruited scholarship at Bryant College to golf. He's golfing today with Mike Corder. We need to ask him, why do you think that people are still so fascinated with Tiger Woods?
Sure.
You got that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought Turners too, because the Turner boys are both,
huge
love
fans.
Tiger Woods. Yeah,
and they're like of a generation. They're young.
Yeah, yeah.
So they love Tiger Woods.
They're in college.
Like, what is that? Like, what is that? They don't remember. They can't. I don't think that they were, their thoughts were Tiger Woods, or maybe they were like just starting out in golf.
Probably, yeah. I mean,
the last time he was relevant. Well, he's still relevant.
Yeah.
But despite not winning.
Yeah. Although Mark did sit at the banquet when Rudy played Pebble Beach this summer, Jack Nicklaus. So he was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with name recognition, don't you? I mean, it's just
yeah, but somebody like Rory McIlroy, who is amazing, and has won some really nice tournaments recently. He does not get the kids don't follow
him. Like when
he's
when,
you know
yeah. when
there's
Tiger
something
is,
charismatic about
when
him.
Tiger is like in a tournament and he's like within like a couple strokes of the leader, like social media he's trending. Like that guy is trending when he's not even winning tournaments.
But that started. I mean, his father, I think, was a very good, not only Tiger Woods' dad, I think, was a good golf coach, but also a very good marketer as well. Because
savvy.
It started with Tiger Woods was a kid. It was so...
I know the story.
The endorsements and...
But the endorsements were what came initially from him winning. And he was charismatic and everything else. But, like, it's been so long since he's won. I mean, I don't know. Again, I could beat a dead horse. His father hasn't, like... They haven't mentioned his father for 20 years. I mean, the first five years.
In the beginning, and then when he was on like the downswing, he dated a Olympic skier, and then they were in all the gossip columns. And Rory McIlroy, all those other guys, they have like quiet lives.
They're not playboys.
No, Dustin Johnson is married to Paulina Gretzky.
Oh, Wayne Gretzky's daughter. Who knows? Who knew?
Yeah.
Not me.
Well,
right?
Well, I know it's football, and we'll go back to it, but I just want to get out there that Tiger Woods will be playing Phil Mickelson for that challenge, and it's going to be in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And that's the
on Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
And I thought Thanksgiving was about food.
I didn't realize
that it was about football.
Food is a factor. There's no question food is a factor. And this is going to be my first year cooking a bird on the kettle.
I can't wait to see the video.
I can't wait to do it. I feel like the turkey is cheap enough that I can do a practice run.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
You
need practice tasters.
Yeah.
Hey, here's an idea. The podcast before Thanksgiving, maybe... We'll have a Thanksgiving themed podcast, and I'll do a bird down here for us.
All the friends of Blog can listen to you guys eating.
That's right.
That would be awesome.
No, because from what I understand, if you do like a 10-pound bird, it only takes like 3 hours to cook. So
yes.
I get here at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It'll be ready for when. Yeah. So I would need you guys to
I need you to do
the stuffing.
Yeah.
I need you to do.
Yeah.
Don't tell her potatoes. Please don't tell her potatoes.
I'll do this.
You're fucking Irish. What are you talking about?
She doesn't like potatoes. She doesn't like them. She never makes them. It's crazy.
Is it not like potato?
I'm not
you
kidding.
Know what? You
look
want,
at her
you,
that way, not
want,
me.
Do you want to make stuffing and I'll make mashed potatoes?
Okay,
there
right,
you go.
That's true. Yeah.
The fucking
I know you're having trouble with this. I know it's what
her
makes
family.
It
we have trouble with it.
Yeah.
Ryan.
All my life.
Ryan was your last name? Are we
yes.
Right? Are we wrong?
Yes.
No, you're right. I
and
don't know.
Flynn was our mother's name. You know, she.
I'm gonna give you a couple of things where people go off on mashed potatoes. They don't put enough butter.
Yeah, I know.
Agree.
And they don't
agree.
Put enough salt and pepper.
Agree.
And a lot of people. There's a lot of people.
I agree.
Like these people that try to do healthy mashed potatoes.
I don't make healthy mashed potatoes.
Get the fuck out of here with that.
I make them on Thanksgiving Day. I probably won't make it this way, but I heat up the cream too, so that
you have to.
You pour the cream in and the butter and whip it. Lots of salt and pepper. Mine are not health food mashed potatoes.
God bless you.
Can I come over?
Yeah, because Jim doesn't get potatoes unless we have a family function and all of us bring potatoes.
My birthday's coming up, and they always give me potatoes for my birthday.
We do. We cook him potatoes.
They actually put it in boxes, and they all make it. And I have to guess the answer.
It's a thing.
I think I taste it out of the box. And it's Paul.
Do I need to obligatory every year? I demolish my mother on her the way she cooked poultry and pork. Every year it's an annual tradition. I feel bad, but I must bring up. I had an aversion for the longest time of like eating chicken or pork products because my growing up, my mother, you know, the overprotective mom,
mm-hmm.
God bless her, would always like you know scared. They put the health scare of what the cooking temperatures are, and she'd overdo it all the time. So all the time we had like pork chops, they're always dry.
Yeah, horrible. I still can't eat pork chops.
Right?
Oh my gosh, pork chops on the grill are the best.
You know something, Anthony Catarano's pork chops. I put that his pork chop on that at Tano.
Okay.
Up against any meal in town.
Really?
I'm telling you right now.
Before.
I've said it a million times.
Yeah.
When he had the first the grand opening or the you know the soft opening. The construction crew that did the interior work at Tano, they were there, you know, and they had me there, and Safafi was probably, you know, all the usual suspects that get to check out the cool stuff. So Kate and I were walking in, and the construction crew, all these big, burly construction guys, you got to get the pork chop.
Which you said you have an aversion to pork.
And I said, the pork chop. In my head, I'm saying to myself, there's no way I'm getting the pork chop. The best pork chop goes along the lines of you know these other foods that can never be tens. You know how we've had that conversation before, but they were so adamant, and these were all working
big
kind of guys
like
you know working guys like me. So I'm like, there has to be something to it. I ordered the pork chops, and it did not disappoint. It was a brined pork chop. I think I told you this also before that I went to the next. Night, I went to another restaurant in town that had brined pork chops on their menu, and they were fucking horrible. And I got them because I was thinking in my head, "Oh, it must be the brine, must be the thing that makes them."
I gotta have it again. Yeah.
You thought you'd gotten over that childhood.
Yeah.
Oh, they're brined, so they must be as good. Oh, if they're half as good as Anthony's, I'm gonna love it. They sucked. It was a decent restaurant, not a cheap restaurant. So anyway, go to Tano.
To Thanksgiving, just to say, Thanksgiving, it's about food, it's about football, it's about music. Cape Ann Symphony Holiday Pops, you kick off the holiday season.
On Thanksgiving, they
Thanksgiving
have a show?
Weekend.
Oh, there you go.
So Saturday and Sunday, when you're tired of
after you've gone shopping
eating,
or whatever.
You've gone shopping. There's going to be three
you'd
concerts.
You'd like to get away from family. You'd like to make sure the family stops talking to you.
Yeah.
You go to a concert.
You go to the
everybody
concert.
Everybody
has
to sit quietly.
Yeah.
And the Cape Ann Symphony Chorus is performing, so it's going to be some...
See, that's a perfect idea that all the men can send the women and their girlfriends to go see the symphony while we watch football.
Yeah.
Yep. Perfect. Perfect.
That's, I like that.
We're having Thanksgiving at our house for the first time.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I think that's awesome.
I'm really excited. You know, and you got to lay down the ground rules about Thanksgiving that, you, like, it's about the food, but then it's about
football. I get it.
Don't fucking break my balls and tell me I got to sit in a room and not watch football during fucking Thanksgiving.
So what time do you eat Thanksgiving dinner so that you can be sure to have maximum football?
See, the first game's on around 12.
It's got to be on the TV at all times. Except for when you're eating the actual meal.
Okay.
You help out, like, whatever she's going to need done setting up.
Right.
And then we're watching the game while the setting up part is done.
Right. Then
then we eat the meal.
You quickly eat.
And then we go. And I'm happy now because we get the couch for downstairs and we have the nice setup downstairs. So the people that don't want to watch football, you can stay upstairs. And you can all chit-chat and have a nice
do the dishes, whatever you feel like you need to do.
You can have a nice conversation amongst yourselves. I'm watching fucking football. And if they don't want to watch it with me, I'll go downstairs and watch it. And if no one else wants to watch it, I'll watch it by myself. But I'm watching fucking football. That's the fucking rule. Okay, are we all clear?
We all understand.
Are we all clear?
I tend to go to Jim and Pat's for Thanksgiving. And they have football on the whole time. It's
Thank
a tradition.
It's
what
go.
They do. However, during dinner, they turn the sound off and Jim puts music on, which is nice.
It's nice
because that gets the conversation starting. The problem is that the television faces one way and the table, so everybody wants to sit on that side of the table.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see that.
So it's a little elbowing getting in to that side of the table so you can view the television.
I'll be honest with you. That's the one thing. I would not give anyone a hard time for turning off the TV during the meal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a hard time with that. But when the meal is over.
And when we were growing up, Sunday dinner was halftime of the football game on Sunday.
There you go.
And
the TV was pulled up to the table.
Yes.
That's an all-American family. All-American family right there. God bless your family.
I remember the day that Heidi interrupted the end of the football game.
Oh, yeah.
Because the TV was pulled up to the dining room table. Our grandparents were there. And we were having Sunday dinner, and the next thing you know, here comes Heidi.
The Wonderful World of Disney interrupted the football game.
Not Heidi,
the
girl.
The movie, Heidi.
Heidi Daly.
I've heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was about 100 years ago.
The Wonderful World of Walt Disney would start at 7 o'clock every night on Sunday night.
Oh.
And so that
year, they did.
They cut it off.
Yeah.
A really tight game.
Oh, really?
It's a well-known network gap.
I'm gonna look that up on YouTube
and
see if someone has the actual cut to that.
Yeah.
Freaking out.
It was one of those like football games that ran long, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was tied up, and it was really.
The Jets
came
all the way back with a miracle comeback,
and nobody saw it.
Nobody saw it on national TV because back then. It just cut away, and there's like the World of Disney.
And there was,
and we were watching Heidi.
Yeah,
the story of Heidi, my namesake.
Yes.
That's why I was named.
So,
well, you would know, right? So, Kim, I have a question for you.
Okay, and then I have a question for the Ryans too.
All right, do you want to get that out of the way? Go ahead. Does it have to do with what we were just talking
about?
Yeah,
well, just about family. Like, so Bob Ryan is your cousin.
He is.
Yes,
So how is he your cousin? Like a first cousin, second cousin?
Second, I think his dad.
And our grandfather.
Slugger.
And our grandfather were
brothers.
Wow, so you're really close cousins.
Well, you are actually close cousins.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Slug Ryan, yeah.
It was,
iconic guy on the waterfront, by the way. My cousin, Frankie's,
that's what
Frankie's father's
said.
Best friend.
Slug Ryan.
Yeah.
Slug Ryan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Huh. And we, when I first was tracking him down as a cousin and trying to make the connection, we went into the Ryan and Wood Distillery and to see what was going on over there. This was a number of years ago now, and his wife was attending the counter, and we were chatting, and I was just about to say, I was saying, oh, I think that we might be related, and he walked in the room. And I took one look at his face, and it had what I knew was our
like
Ryans.
Grampy. Yeah.
And he kept saying, oh, no, I'm not one of those Ryans. I'm, you know, my Ryans are not the prominent Ryans, I guess,
my
or whatever.
My Ryans eat potatoes.
And
My Ryan's baked potatoes.
So
we make vodka. We use potatoes every way we
can. And I said, oh, no, no, you're one of my Ryans. I can tell just by looking at you. And he is.
So Ryan cool. of Ryan and Wood.
Right? Yes.
Because my uncle is Bob Ryan from
Cato.
Cato,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So.
Cape Ann Transportation.
Well,
that's the other Ryan.
Bob Ryan is married to my mom's sister.
Okay.
So.
I'm lost. Anyway, it's okay. What was your question? Sorry.
Ryan of Cato.
There you go. A question that I had for you was, we're going to double back to the conversation we had before. Do you have any turkey tips on making turkeys? Do you have an internal temperature you look for? How do you know when it's done? What size turkey do you like to get?
Okay, so I usually cook two 10 to 11 pound turkeys, or I cook like an 18 pound turkey. And then I always cook it, I don't brine it or do anything because I don't have a tenderness problem, but I have this nice roasting pan, and I just plop the turkey down in the roasting pan, put a couple inches of water in it, and then cook it at a very slow temperature, 325 all day for the recommended amount of time. But I also put vegetables in, and I never
where
stuff
do you put the vegetables?
All around it, like
in the roasting pan.
In the roasting pan,
so the drippings will go on.
Mm-hmm. And then I baste it I rub it with olive oil, salt, and pepper. And then I baste it very liberally throughout with butter, because I like to, I quadruple my my gravy recipe. So I need tons and tons of pan, buttery, rich pan drippings and stuff, because my family is fanatical about leftovers. So we like to have like leftovers that at least last 2 or 3 days of leftovers. Great, enough gravy to last 2 or 3 days of that. And then, I usually tell that it's done by how it smells, and then I put a little fork in towards the back end, and when the juices start to run clear, that's when you can tell that it's done, instead of pinkish, when the juices start to run clear. And then I let it rest for like 40 minutes afterwards.
40 minutes.
Yeah.
I read somewhere but that the best size turkey is between 10 and 12 pounds. If you get a turkey between 10 and 12 pounds, it'll cook evenly.
It cooks evenly.
If you go bigger than that, the one part will finish before the other part.
I don't have that problem, but I have tried cooking 25 pound turkeys, and that is hard.
Uh-huh.
That is hard to do it. But 18. You can still do 18 and get it pretty even. But
do you make homemade cranberry sauce, or do you buy it?
No, I do both, because one family member likes jellied, and then the rest of us like homemade. And I make more of a cranberry relish with oranges and stuff like that. Yeah. Do you want that recipe?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't want the recipe because I probably won't make it myself.
Yeah.
But I'd like to eat it.
In other words, when you do your little Thanksgiving here,
I'm a big fan of like turkey sandwiches with the mayonnaise and the cranberry relish.
Oh, you know who has really good cranberry relish? Is that Stonewall?
Stonewall Kitchen.
Kitchen, yeah.
Try that cranberry relish.
Yeah, that's good.
Tom is loving that. But the main thing is also never stuff your turkey.
I do.
Yeah, well, you can get really sick. I've seen that happen a couple times at relatives' houses. So, especially if you pre-make the stuffing, because there's a lot of bacteria that happens in there. So I make triple the stuffing recipe. I use fresh bread, toast the bread, you know, saute all the mushrooms and the onions and the celery and do all that stuff. And then I just put them in pans. And then I take turkey pan drippings and drizzle that over the stuffing mixture before I bake it. So I just think it's safer. And you get this beautiful crispy top.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
It's moist underneath,
yeah.
But then you have crispy golden nuggets on top. So that's how.
I'm ready for Thanksgiving.
I know, right now.
That's why I said
bring
I think it's
it
about
on.
The food.
Let's go.
Did you ever have anybody get sick in your family?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I've never heard of that. When I make my stuffing, I do it that morning. Yeah. I stuff it that morning, yeah. And then I take it out immediately while the turkey's resting. The dressing's out of it already.
Yeah, I think that's when people get into trouble is when you leave it.
If you leave it sitting.
If you leave it sitting there for 40 minutes and then you serve, you're pulling out the stuffing
and it is far more moist. Yeah. The pan stuff is fine if you need extra and everything, you know. Yeah. But the way my mom always did it. And we put potatoes in our stuffing.
Yeah, my father's mother and my mother's mother did it differently.
Everybody
and,
does.
Yeah, no, yeah. One did a meat stuffing and one did a bread stuffing.
Yeah.
And they were both really, really good. So I wouldn't really pick one over the other.
But they were both really good,
but completely different. Yeah. One with potatoes, very heavy with the potatoes, one with heavy with the meat and stuff. Yeah. Huh. Very interesting.
And then walnuts lately, I've been putting pecans or walnuts.
Oh, people put grapes in it. They put apples in it. They put
all sorts of things. I'm a big fan of, this might be a little bit off topic, but if you wanted to try a certain type of nut in your stuffing, I would try pine nuts. Mm. I love pine nuts in meatloaf.
I think that would be a good flavor.
I love pine nuts.
Yeah, that would be a good flavor.
Okay, so we got that. I want to give a shout out to our friend Shrewsbury and Frank Shalino and a plea. For more stickers.
Do you know what color this year? They just always come. They always surprise me.
I think I'll let them pick one. Yeah. Pick a color. I don't want anything too out there because I want people to actually put them on their cars. but we're going through quite a bit because Manny, he does that Man About Town kind of like goes on the boulevard and he's giving them to people.
Oh, that's great.
Pat gave them about.
They were very popular yesterday at the Crow's Nest.
Yeah. So there's that. I'd like to give a shout out to Melissa Cox and Don Artizoni and Jessica Biker that have been doing the show at the Paint Factory.
And I think Bridget as well.
Bridget, yeah, but I think that the other ones are like kind of.
Oh, okay.
Managing the thing. So yeah, please, if you guys hear that. Kim's daughter's blowing her up because she's not there to make her breakfast.
No, I'm just texting her to see if she's up.
Sorry. It's 9:49. What do you mean, is she up? She's 9:49. You have to worry if she's up.
No, she went out with some friends, and I said I'll be there at 9:30 to make breakfast for everybody.
Oh, you're late right now.
And I'm late, but I'm not gonna kill myself running home.
If she's not even up yet, she's still sleeping.
Right. So I'm just texting her.
Oh, that's nice of you. Yeah. Nice and thoughtful, Mom. So next Sunday, we're going to have Ken Rieff in to pimp his new show at Gloucester Stage, My Station in Life, along with Ken Balton, who's playing Simon Geller.
Ken Balton's playing Simon Geller, It's Ken has written. He's local. A lot of people probably know him. He's a lawyer. He's also...
Does he have an art gallery or something? In his place?
He
sends me press releases.
He does have some artwork, yeah. And he's also worked on films with Henry Farini as well. And they did a film about Simon Geller, Fishtown, it was called, and where they followed Simon Geller to New York, and they did... It was a documentary. It was on GBH. And now Ken has written this play about Simon Geller. It takes place in the 80s, so you can relive all the 80s fashions and fun. So there's that. And one of my students, Megan Gallo, is in it, and she was trying on some costumes yesterday during class. The costume designer came over, who's Laura Giardullo, who is from, she works
dress code.
Dress code, and she is also the costume designer for Holiday Delights. I work with her frequently. And Megan was trying on all these 80s outfits. And stirrup pants. Do we remember stirrup pants?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, stirrup pants in the bright colors.
Stirrup pants were like a pre-leggings.
Yes.
Stirrup pants pegged up. What were the, the parachute pants?
MC
Hammer pants, but there was the ones, the jeans that everybody used to wear. Z Cavaricci's.
Oh yeah, that had like the weird kind of like waistband and the pockets.
There was a lot of acid dye washed stuff.
Yeah. So
shoulder pads, not our proudest moment.
It really is
Benetton sweaters on the women.
It really is a piece of history, though. I mean, what Simon Geller was about, the last single-owned handheld radio station in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, it, when you think about, you know, all the radio stations now are all owned by big, you know, WBZ is now owned by iHeartRadio and is, you know, their offices are no longer at WBZ TV.
There's still one.
There's the river.
What's the one in Bach? WBach and Beverly.
North Shore
104.9.
Which is Simon Geller's license.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
That's Simon Geller's license. They were the
Hello,
ones.
Hello, our friend Aurelia Nelson. She never comes in anymore. We need
Aurelia.
To
get
her.
Aurelia.
We'll get her. She'll come in.
You're
we're old friends.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really. Yeah, they're all coming to see my station in life. So, because the Tangers bought, ended up buying the license, Simon Geller's license.
Okay.
He was very involved at the chamber. The Tanger, what's his name? The guy.
Todd owns it
now.
Doug Tanger was the one who bought the license originally.
I gotcha.
And then their dad, Woody, also owns some other radio stations, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tangers. But it's great that it's still on the North Shore. It's gone through some different format changes. But Simon Geller played classical music exclusively.
And who was the guy that played in Gloucester on in Ken Heck's building in the basement?
Simon Geller.
That was Simon Geller.
He was on, well, it was Duncan Street. I'm not sure.
Duncan Street, yeah. On the,
which side. He was on Duncan Street and then Maplewood Avenue. But
right.
It was Simon Geller.
That was Simon Geller.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That
and,
was
and was that
Geller.
Broadcast all over the country or just in our area?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know you can go online. There's a website that you can listen to rebroadcasts of Simon Geller.
Oh, I'd like to do that.
Oh, that's interesting.
What's the website?
So,
if I look it up.
Simon Geller, I think it was WCVA. Was on the website.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
That's fantastic.
And
I'm
you
do
can
that.
Listen
to stream
to,
it. Yeah.
And if you go to Gloucester Stage to our page about the show, the video clip is an audio of a Simon Geller broadcast.
Perfect.
And he was a real, like, he did things his way. Or he would say, like, I have to go to Boston today, so I won't broadcast. Or I have to go to the drugstore and pick up a prescription, so I'm going to put a really long
I'll see you in an hour.
And I'll see you in an hour.
Yeah.
And he was very, very vocal. Like, if there were things he didn't like, he let people know.
Wow.
You know, I was reading some things, like, he didn't think Gloucester had enough arts. I think that was one of the things that I was looking at on the website. And he was, and he would rail against things. He didn't want advertisers.
Wow.
You know, he really had his own way of doing things.
There you go.
And people.
I'm looking forward to seeing the play. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and the guy Ken Balton, who's playing Simon Geller, is really a professional actor from Boston. He really is all in, and
wow.
I mean, like he wants to come here next week. That's the press opening, so he's going to get up early before the press opening, come here because he really knows how important Geller is to Gloucester and.
Yeah. Well, let's leave some for next week, too.
There's
questions. So, questions that Ken Rieff, well, between a film and a play, Ken really knows everything.
I had no idea Ken Rieff did all this stuff. It was amazing.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. Gloucester Cast 301.
301.
All right, I'll go around the room. When do you think I should post it? Because 300 is getting posted tonight. Should I post it? Wait, hold it off and post it tomorrow night?
Yeah.
301?
Yeah.
Nothing
it a day
is time-wise,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll post this.
Right.
When you listen to this, you're listening to it on Monday night.
On Monday, yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks,
thank
Gloucester
you.
Gloucester Cast 301, 58 minutes and 34 seconds, and boom.